Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Southern Premier Land Podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, live from a different location over in Huddersfield, joined once again by Anthony Torgrood.
What's up, guys? Glad to be back. My appearances are few and far between now, but I'm here, and we're going to try to continue that. But so far, perfect attendance for 2024.
That was literally why I'm here this morning, was like, I can't miss the first part of the year.
Yeah, I woke up at 8:59 and saw a message that said we're going at 9, and I said, oh. So I ran in here, grabbed a shirt off the wall, grabbed the coffee, and we're good to go.
I was just like, do we have to? And Oliver was like, if you and AJ want to do it later, you can. I was like, no, I don't want to do it at all.
Yeah, I apologize to you lads for having a narrow window today, but you know, it's basically it's New Year's Day. Majority of us will be feeling worse for wear. You know, like to celebrate the new year and whatnot. But never say that we don't deliver for you, the listeners. We're here and we've got a real action-packed episode. We've got four games to talk about, two to recap and two to preview. I kind of prefer when Syria had a Christmas break, to be honest, just so we could put it all to one side for a few weeks. But here we are. Yeah. Before we dive into this week's episode, got to say thank you to our Substack founding members, Des Windsor McGlynn, Ali Tareen, Tito, Matt Moritz Pullman, Joey Gawler, Kemin, MJ Mats, Luke Villano, Raul Escobar. That list has grown nicely throughout 2023. So thank you to each and every one of you and to all of our Substack subscribers for supporting what we're doing over there. And I hope that, who knows, by this time in 2025, I could be reading a list of 30 names. Or we might have to have it scroll across the bottom or something like that once it gets past a certain point. But anyway, let us get into this one then. So the boys, the red and black boys, ruined Christmas, basically. On the 23rd of December, we had a perfect opportunity to make it three wins in a row after beating Newcastle and Monza back to back. We were playing...
It was the 22nd.
Was it?
Yeah, that's what my app says.
I'm fairly sure it was the... Hang on.
Okay.
Maybe my memory's
gone. It was definitely the 22nd.
Yeah, it was the 22nd.
Listen, man, it's been a long week.
Yeah, whatever. I lost track of the days. I know it was a Friday night game anyway. So, chance to make it three wins in a row. We're playing a rock-bottom team that hadn't won a game. They have since won their first game of the season, but alas... we were definitely expected to win this one, even with the difficulties that we've been having, you know, in terms of injuries and whatnot. The game started well. We were on the front foot and we got the goal that was probably coming with our pressure. Fikayo Tomori bundling in his third goal of the season. He's give his elated celebration and whatnot. That was to be his last act for what will be about 3 months, as it turns out. We can't catch a break. And then it was typical Milan against these lower end teams. It just seemed to kind of go to shit from there, really. We conceded a really bad goal, a header from a corner from Fazio, formerly of Roma. And then that Candreva goal. I mean, he was always going to score against us. But while literally perfect symbol of our season, while Tomori's laying on the ground with his hamstring essentially snapped in half, Candreva is slicing a shot. Got in at the near post past Maignan. Thoughts?
Look, I've said it a million times. We have a team that, you know, is big on sportsmanship, and I think a lot of people think that's a good thing. Fuck that. I want wins. Right. I want it to be easy. I want to enjoy myself, and I'm not going to enjoy myself if we drop any points. Earlier in that game, and we do this all the time, they had a player go down. We stop our counterattack, kick the ball out. That's the right thing to do. That's the sporting thing to do. Cool, whatever. Teams do it all around. Tomori goes down, and they say, oh, now we have a one-on-one or whatever the fuck the situation was. And they ran. They didn't kick the ball out. Everyone's like, yo, he's down. They ran. And then, you know, to be fair, it wasn't like it was an open goal. It was just Mike had a horrible save. It was the goal was Mike's fault because – it was near post. I think he even got a touch on it. It was bottom corner. Like, he should have saved it. But still, like, it's always situations like that. There's always a little asterisk next to every goal we concede where I get to be a bitch about it. And the guy, the Inter fan who watches will say something in the comments, but that's okay. yeah, it's just, it's dumb shit like that all the time. It drives me crazy, man. And you know, you look at it, it's like, okay, we go up 1-0 early to Tomori. We look great in the first half. It's like, all right, awesome. We're comfortably beating the team in 20th place, as you should, right? As you always should. And then all of a sudden they score an equalizer, and something told me, I was like, ah, this is gonna get bad right here. And all after they scored, mm-hmm. it was just like the team mentally collapsed. They couldn't handle it. This was ironically the first game in a while and the last game for a while where we had a left back, a right back, and two center backs, you know, naturally in their positions. Of course, we lose a center back. And then now it's a mess again. We don't, whatever. So it goes down, and then at least Jovic saves it in the very end, gets the equalizer. He actually looked good. I think that was like his third involvement in three games at the time.
Three goals in three.
Something like games that, yeah.
Yet he doesn't get the start.
Yeah, I mean, that's another ridiculous thing. He should be starting against Cagliari, right? I would imagine we're going
to
rotate.
Yeah, he will be. In fairness for the Sassuolo game, which we'll come on to, he took a knock on the ankle in the Salernitana game from that tackle from Giambert that should have potentially been looked at for dangerous play, to be honest. He took a nasty one on the ankle. He didn't train with the team until the day before the game, so he couldn't really start. But then when he came on, he literally did more than Giroud. But yeah, we'll come on to that game. Shit. Basically. Shit result.
Top and flop? Let's just get this one over.
Yeah. I just want to, before we put this one in the history books forever, and it was pretty quickly forgotten, because when it's just before Christmas, you know, by Christmas Day, you're not even thinking about football. However, it was a bit of a sour note, to be honest. Expected goals. We had 2.3 to their 1.43. How much weight you put in that is up to you. But big chances, we were 5-1 in our favour. So once again, guilty of not taking the opportunities that we had and seizing the moments of momentum. We had 66% of the ball. We had 9 shots on target. Like, you've got to find a way in those situations. You just have to find a way. Liao, again, was not good. These are the moments that can swing the season a little bit, because sort of you think about what's happened since. If we have those 2 points more, then all of a sudden the gap to Inter 7 and not the 11 that it ended up becoming. You know, we'd currently be 7 behind them, and all of a sudden you're starting to just think again, you know, or at least the gap to fifth place would be 7 points as opposed to the 5 it is currently. You have to find a way in those situations. It's unacceptable. It's Pipo Inzaghi's team, I know. Candreva always seems to score against us, I get it. Fazio scores a set piece. Yeah, we can never get them right. Just thought so many familiar narratives that stopped this team from what was... It was a must-win game, really. And then there was all the stuff that came out after about Pioli and that potentially being his last game. And yet here he is. Top and flop, I suppose. Top... God, I don't know. It probably has to be Jovic. He looked pretty bright when he came on, and he took the equalising goal well and bailed us out. Because if we lose that game, I genuinely think he might not be our manager anymore. But yeah, I'd say Jovic, and there's not a lot to choose from there.
No, I was going to agree with that. I was picking Jovic as well.
Full house for Luka Jovic. Flop of the match, quite a few to choose from, but I'm gonna go with Mike, because I think letting that goal in was unforgivable. You cannot, as a man who is asking for 7-8 million net per year to renew his contract with us, which some would argue he is worthy of, because he is one of the best in the world still in his position. But when we did that hot takes episode thing on the bonus, and I was sort of saying, I don't think Mike's actually a top 5 goalkeeper in the world. He just makes these strange errors sometimes that I think prevent him from being fully in the discussion. Now, I ain't going to go on a big rant against him, because he made a massive save in the Sassuolo game from Berardi. But yeah, you can't let that in, and that puts us in a really bad position in the game. So I'd go with him.
Yeah, I wanted to pick him for the exact same reason. You look at Candreva's performance, his XG for the whole game was 0.15, meaning the shot he took had no business going in. But since you picked him, I'll pick someone else who really deserves a lot of criticism the last few weeks and hasn't received it. And also plays that position as Kendreva, and their XG was 0.09, and that's Rafa Leão. Mm-hmm. Leão has been abysmal lately. This game, he had a 0.09 XG. That means he barely did anything. He didn't even take a shot. I mean, he took three shots. Two of them were off target. One of them was blocked by the guy immediately in front of him. I mean, to be a world-class winger, as we've said for seasons now, he hasn't shown it. Mm-hmm. And yes, this was, I believe, his first game back from injury, right? So he gets a slight pass there, but he doesn't going forward. And, you know, Flop Leão might be a theme this episode. We'll see.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at his stats. He is on pace to get 8 goals and 8 assists in the league. That's the lowest he'll have in 2 seasons.
Well, he hasn't scored a home league goal in 3 months now, over 3 months.
He hasn't scored a goal. He hasn't since even September.
Really. That the Hellas Verona game. He scored, obviously, against PSG at home in the Champions League. But, yeah, his league play has not been all there at all. Mm. I think for the Salernitana game, you can probably give him the benefit of the doubt because he didn't look good. He didn't look fit to me. Like, he looked really leggy. He didn't have that same burst of pace. But then he gets, you know, what is it, 4 or 5 days off and gets another start at home against Sassuolo, a chance to avoid going 100 days without a goal in the league. And he didn't do well in that game either. So yeah, I think Leão's fair game. Maddie, who was your flop?
I'm going to go Teo. He completed 0% tackles. That's 0 out of 0. So he didn't even attempt a tackle in this game. And he only won 1 of 5 duels. Wow. You're a defender. You should probably be defending. Just saying.
Yeah.
Especially since you've been playing center back too, like that. Those are worrying numbers. Like, this game, he was a left back, so it's a bit of an excuse. But yeah, you
moved into center back in 65 minutes.
That's like your job, dog.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, where was he for that Florenzo goal? Where was he for the Kandreva goal? You know, that's his side, and he's allowed to get that shot away. Simic came on at halftime for Kier, who clearly isn't 100% still. And then when Tomori went off injured, Florenzi went to left back and Teo went to centre back. I actually don't think they had an awful lot. They were trying to defend their 2-1 lead, obviously. But yeah, I think Teo's not been anywhere near his best the last few weeks. And I'd also throw in there Loftus-Cheek and Reinders as well. The midfield just isn't there. Like, you look to them sometimes for moments of inspiration, a bit of end product, or just in Loftus-Cheek's case, to grab the game by the scruff of the neck with his size and with his ball carrying ability. Want there. Poor performances from a number of different
players, but you also had a change in formation too, right?
Yeah, but if anything, that allows Loftus-Cheek to play a bit further up, so he has less defensive responsibility and he should be able to focus on, you know, but anyway, it just didn't click. It wasn't a good performance, and we can archive that one very quickly and move on to Sassuolo at home. Well, this was a classic, wasn't it, to sign off the year?
It was Pioli's first ever home win against brilliant Sassuolo. Game. Sorry, I think I was lagging there and I started talking over him. Is he frozen? Did we lose him? Oh, okay. Is there? Yeah, it was Pioli's first ever home win against Sassuolo. His fifth attempt, and he finally got the win, all thanks to the American Christian Pulisic. But yeah, there's just not a whole lot to talk about this game, to be honest with you. I mean, Bennacer started. I thought he looked fantastic. It was nice to see him back full form. Unfortunately, he's already gone for AFCON. He won't even be playing in the Cagliari game, so he's gone. Don't get used to that, guys. If you just got to see him for the first time this season, you're like, wow, that guy's good. Glad he's back. Well, he's gone again. So there's that. We played another 3 fullback game, and it worked out well. Sassuolo is not much of a threat, or at least wasn't this day. They beat, actually, Juventus and Inter. So they beat the only teams above us, which is nice. That's 3 points that we got that they won't get. And Inter also dropped points. So we did actually move up slightly in the table there. But overall, everyone had a much better game, except for, I would say, Giroud. I feel like Giroud just didn't do anything.
He never does anything.
Every now and then he gets an assist, but he didn't do shit this time. The goal Pulisic created and finished, which was really nice. You know, he made a pass to Reinders, who then passed it to Bennacer, who then flicked it over the top. And it actually took a deflection off a defender that, shout out to Matteo Bonetti, he called it in studio when he was subbed on at halftime. He said, this guy's a liability. Sassuolo was making a mistake bringing him on. And he turned out to be right because he tried to make a tackle, deflected it straight to Pulisic's feet, and slotted it home. And that's that.
Yeah, I mean, look, the most important thing in this situation is to get 3 points, right? Like, no matter what. And Pioli was under an awful lot of pressure coming into this game, and understandably so. The Salernitana game was not good. And I just think it's one of those wins where you almost come out of it with more questions than answers. Like, there was nothing flowing about the performance really at all. The same players that have been criticised once again failed to deliver. As you mentioned, Giroud was... Oh, Maddie's gone. Giroud was poor, and Liao was even worse. They've now got a combined 7-month goal drought in home league games. That can't happen. That's your highest paid player and your number nine. So that was no bueno. I think Reinders was really frustrating in this game. He had a couple of good shooting opportunities and he took the wrong moment to fire, or he made the wrong decision. Pulisic, as mentioned, kind of bailed us out in this one. Loftus-Cheek again. He just didn't really look at the races at all. And then, look, the back four did what it had to do. You know, it was bend, don't break. We're never going to concede zero chances playing three fullbacks in the back four. But, look, we'll take the positives from it. It was a win and a clean sheet. And I guess Kier deserves a bit of credit, you know, in this game. I know that he had to come off, but he was marshalling the back four pretty well. And he did an interview after the game, which you'll be able to read on our website. It's actually quite a good interview because he got asked by the Sky reporter if he thinks that Milan's problems are mostly tactical or psychological. And he gave like a really long answer on it, about talking about the mentality side of football. But then he also got asked what it's like playing alongside Teo at centre-back. And he was basically like, I've got to be honest, it's difficult. Because his instinct is to go all over the place and to lose his position, and he loses his man. So he has to bark orders at him. And I did watch during the game to see, and he was shouting at him, saying, you stay in here with me, with him, you know. And I think he deserves a bit of credit for that, because he's holding it together like a bandage at the moment, that entire back four. We really need some help, you know. We need some help badly from the Mercato. But
yeah, I thought Kier was shit, to be honest with you.
I was the lowest rated person on Bookmob, and
I'll take it.
Reinders was actually the highest rated.
Oh, Reinders wasn't going to be my top, but and Kier's not going to be my flop either. I remember watching, because I do this thing at the beginning of games where I count how long it takes us to make three consecutive successful forward passes, and it was the second half, by the way. It was when Pulisic scored his goal. That was the first time. So that was a bit ridiculous. But every time Kier got the ball, like the ball came near him, he tried to just boot it up the field, and it never found a player. So I don't know. It was driving me nuts. And I feel like any time he was going against one of the forwards, he was getting beat. I just felt like he was actually doing really, really bad, to be honest with you. I know he's been injured. He came off at halftime the game prior, and he's been out for a while, so he's gonna get a little bit of a pass. But yeah, as far as defenders go, he wasn't my favorite. I thought Calabria looked great up until the very end. He headed the ball out that didn't need to, and he headed it out for a corner, and he was not under any pressure. I'm assuming he thought someone was behind him, and I was like, bro, what are you doing? And it was in the last minute.
Well, better to be safe than sorry, I suppose.
Yeah, but we can see from corners, so when it happened, I was like, oh, here we go. But
that's true.
We got away with it, so he gets a pass. Yeah, I thought Bennacer was fantastic. Pulisic was great. Liao looked really shitty again. He actually got subbed off. He was like breathing heavy around the half hour mark. I just think he's not back to full fitness. I don't think he's recovered from his injury. Yeah. So I mean,
I'll tell you, we have we have Chukwueze who can play on the right. Why aren't you sticking Liao on the or Pulisic on the left and just giving Liao time to get back to fitness? Well, like
he doesn't have that anymore. Rude, you already are going to AFCON.
What?
Chukwueze's gone to AFCON. Well, he'll be here. Okay, but you had the last
two games to do that, though.
Yeah.
So use it while you can.
Yeah, no, I don't know why we haven't
match fit.
Yeah, I don't know why we haven't used that solution more. I'm not necessarily a fan of putting Pulisic on the left either. I know that some would argue that's where his natural position was during the best spells of his career at Chelsea and at Dortmund, whatever. But whenever he's played there, I think like your wingers have to complement each other, and I think he's much better cutting in and looking for the creative run for scoring goals centrally. Whereas when you ask him to play on the side of his favoured foot and to get to the byline and cross, he doesn't have the same explosive pace as the others. So I'd rather play Chukwueze on the left and tell him to basically do what Liao does, and just hope that he can create something. But yeah, we need Okafor back as well. That's that's something that would help give us a bit more depth in that area. I'll tell you one thing as well that I really realized in this game. I think we really miss Musa in midfield. Like, we genuinely miss someone with his energy and his work rate and his... Look, he ain't going to be the guy who goes and bangs one top corner, you know, to win us the game or whatever. But the amount of ground that he covers, and he is good at progressing the ball, I do think we miss him while the other midfielders look a bit tired.
Something about Musa, unrelated to football, but some eagle-eyed viewers might have noticed in his most recent Instagram photo, he's got a wedding ring on. He got married this weekend. He also put a wedding ring emoji in his bio. So shout out to him. He's very private in his life. He doesn't share a lot. I don't think any people even knew he was engaged, let alone dating anyone. So, yeah. Congrats, bud.
He's married to the treatment room at Milanello.
Married to the game.
Married to the game, yeah. So, yeah, the stats then for this one. We had 59% of the ball. We had two shots on target to Sassuolo's six. We had one big chance to their zero. So it finished 1-0, and it probably should have done. The XG was 1.69 to 0.51. So, yeah, suggests probably one goal win was the correct margin.
Well, and we had two goals caught offside.
We did, yeah.
Three?
So, yeah, we had two. I tell you, I mean, look, Liao was poor, yes, and he should have held his run, but he did take that offside goal really well, lifted it over the keeper into the top corner. More of that, please, and just make sure you're onside. And then what was the other one? It was, I think it was a shot from distance that was parried, and then Giroud cut it back to Benacer, who put it in, yeah. I believe. Yes, mm-hmm. Benacer. And it was Giroud who was in an offside position. Tops and flops.
I'm going to give my top actually to Benacer. He's going to be out again. It was so nice how having him back. I thought he was everywhere. The goal that got called offside was from deep, and it was a rocket. And then shortly thereafter, he had another one that just barely skipped past the post. So, I mean, he looked nice. He was doing everything in midfield. I didn't feel like we were at risk in the midfield for once in it's been months since I felt like our midfield was solid. We've been saying we need a six, and Benacer isn't necessarily a full six, but he's a lot better at it than what we've been doing, and it showed. So Benacer, welcome back. Sad to see you go again. Come home quick. I hope Algeria nothing but the worst in AFCON, because we need him back ASAP. So Benacer's
I'm going to go Pulisic because he is basically the reason that Pioli still has a job. That should mean he's the flop of the match. But,
yeah. On the Milan website, the official MVP for the game was Pulisic, obviously. Scored the winning goal. I think that weighs heavily. The podium completed by Benacer and Davide Calabria. Interesting.
I mean, I called them all out and said they were good, so...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look. Whatever, it's 3 points. It was not pretty. It was, you know, you might say pragmatic. Maybe we're keeping a little bit of energy in the tank. Like, sometimes you need to win ugly, because we've got obviously a game coming tomorrow on Tuesday in the cup, where we won't have the depth options that you'd like to put into the starting lineup to rotate for a game like this. And then we've got Empoli, and then we've got Roma. So the games come thick and fast. But I think Pulisic is my top flop.
I'm going Liao. just need more from him again. Didn't mention it early, but in the very beginning of the game, he actually had a 2v1 with the goalkeeper. Pulisic was right next to him. He could have just tapped it to the side and easy goal in, and we could have been 1-0 up in like the 10th minute or earlier. I don't remember when it was, but he chose to shoot, and I think it went over the crossbar. So it was not a good shot, and I was like, what are you doing, bro? Like, he had the opportunity, and he's done it so many times in the past. I think it's starting to kind of get in his head that, like, I don't know, he's not been the most productive man this season, and maybe he's trying to just reclaim that. So, yeah.
Yeah, he only completed 75% of his passes and one successful dribble. And that's, like, what he, like, prides himself on.
Yeah.
So, dude needs to get out of his head. He only won one of four duels. So, come on, man.
I mean, and that's his bread and butter, like you said. He does that little step over and flick thing and then beats him on the outside every single time. Like, and if he can't do that, then he's not doing anything anymore.
Yeah, so. If you're watching, we already have Giroud starting. Don't be another Giroud.
We need 11 players, not 9.
Well, I think you're right. I think Liao has probably felt the pressure a little bit. It is impossible not to realize that you've gone a long time without scoring. You know, that will play on your mind, definitely. And maybe he snatches at chances a bit more as a result. But yeah, highest paid player on the team. You had that game against Salernitana to dust the cobwebs off. A few days later, you've got to come back firing in this one. Look, that's it now. You've used up the credit in the bank that was available, or the benefit of the doubt where we say he might still be carrying a little injury, whatever. Better be fucking good against Cagliari if he starts, or against Empoli. Like, we need our match winner back, because without him, our attack looks so one-dimensional. To the extent that they're now, like, double-teaming Pulisic, because he's the main threat, you know? And he's got 6 goals this season, 5, or it might be 4 of them being match winners, you know? So, we've got a new match winner.
Yes, 4 league goals. So, you know, do the math.
Who has 4? Yes. Oh, you're talking about Liao?
No, I think Pulisic does.
Pulisic's on 6, brother.
Yeah.
6 league, 7 total. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he scored in the Champions League as well. Yeah. And then he's got 4 total assists, yeah.
I have Pulisic 4 goals, 6 assists. Oh, I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. It shows assists first.
That's a wrong thing.
No, fix your
okay.
Idiots.
10 goal contributions, though. I mean, that's really good. Like,
at the halfway point.
That's really good.
AJ's getting his money.
Goodbye to signings like that, because the growth decree has died. But, you know, we got him in there while we could. Flop of the match for me is Giroud. He hasn't scored a goal at San Siro in Serie A since August. And, like, he's...
And it was a penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, he scored twice in the Torino win. One was a penalty.
4 of his league goals are penalties.
Oof. 3. He missed a penalty, right? Or no. That was in the Champions League.
Champions League, he missed the penalty against Dortmund. Yeah. Not good. Just not good. They're actually more candidates for flop than top in a win. That says a lot. But anyway, 2023. Maddie, did you pick a flop?
Yeah.
Right. Move on then. Cagliari in the Coppa Italia. Look, I can't believe I'm saying this, but if we were to win next couple of games, we wouldn't play Inter. Inter are out of the Coppa Italia. They got knocked out by Bologna. Napoli got dumped out 4-0 by Frosinone. We should be looking to make a run in this, you know. I know it's hard with all the injuries and the fact that we're still in Europe, but I fancy this. We've got to go for this. This could be a trophy this year.
Once we beat Cagliari, we're going to be playing either Atalanta or Sassuolo, and we're just not beating them. So,
come on. We can do Sassuolo again.
just barely. No, it'll be interesting, because you look at our injury list, and guess which side we are? We're the one that you got to scroll to finish. So... it's long, it's crazy, and obviously we're going to rotate and rest. I think I saw the predicted 11, and Morante was starting in goal. And I'm just like, why? Like, we're already as thin as can be in the back line. Don't put our third string keeper in as well, you know? Like, let's just keep Mike in there. if anyone could play an additional game, it's the goalkeeper. So that's what I would do. But Jovic is going to start. And Chukwueze is going to start over Pulisic because he's leaving after this game to AFCON. So that makes sense. I believe Liao is going to start because he needs to get his shit together. So cool. Do that. And then everything else is just kind of a crapshoot.
But Romero, it shouldn't be a crapshoot. You should be starting your strongest 11. Like, Pioli's fighting for his job here. If he loses this game, like, that could be it. Right?
Yeah. It's, I mean, another early exit in the cup.
Like, you.
Yeah.
Jerry wants to win every trophy that he can. So don't take any competition lightly.
Yeah. Like, imagine if we're out of the Champions League in the group stages. We're. Most people consider us to be out of the title race and to be out of the cup when, you know, a couple of the other big contenders for it have gone too. That would not be good. And let's face it, it's a shit Cagliari team this year. They're in the bottom three. They can't buy a goal. They've scored they've scored 16 goals in 18 games. They've let in 31. Yeah, as it stands, they're on course for relegation back to Serie B. In the Coppa Italia so far, they've beaten Palermo at home. And they beat Udinese after extra time. That's not too bad, actually. That's not a bad result. But Cagliari beat Sassuolo at home a few weeks ago. So, like, just...
We're about to put, like, three past us because of
this
conversation right now.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Oh, I don't know. Look, maybe you give Simic a start in this game. I think he's probably earned enough with his cameo appearances. Kier's probably going to need a rest, and I can't believe I'm saying that. Marco Pellegrino is close. I just wonder if he might give him this as sort of a rehab start or whatever. But if you start with Pellegrino, Simic, that might actually put the result in danger. So,
the lineup I saw was Morante, Florenzi, Simic, Teo, Bartizaghi, okay. Reiner Zadli, Loftus-Cheek, Chukwueze, Liao Jovic. I said that backwards.
The midfield. Like, we just cannot... We can't catch a fucking break. Like, you know, we've got five centre-backs out at once. We've had problems with the forwards. Okafor getting injured. Jovic spent time out injured. Liao spent a month out injured. And then now it's the midfield that all of a sudden has very little depth, or it feels like, with Musa out. You've got those starting three who would... Benacer's leaving. He won. He brought Adli on against Sassuolo, but he doesn't trust him the same as he did a few months ago. And as for Krunic, God knows what's happened with him. But, like, he's going to be probably leaving in January, and we actually need to sign a replacement, probably. Otherwise, we're going to have no depth at all. this is where we're at with it. I mean, I'd like to see Kevin Zaroli get a start, for example, but it's not like we're playing Alessandria as we did a few years ago. Right. Like, this is a Cagliari team that will fancy a scalp, you know, beating us.
Well, especially with the other big teams already dropping, all the sides are thinking, if they could do it, why can't we? You know, so
right.
I mean, granted, Inter had Bologna, who's a much better team, but still, like, it's giving faith, and that's where we crumble. So,
yeah. Predictions then, with that said, look, I think we do it. I think it's really ugly. I think it's 2-1, and it's a late winner.
I'm going to go 3-1, but I think we're going to go down first, and then we're going to have all three of our goals after the 75th minute.
I'm going to go 2-1, and Liao's going to get a brace.
I know exactly who scores for them as well. It's Lapadula, I'm afraid.
If he scores, I will yell.
He never scores. That dude sucks.
Lapagol. He's the one, Pavoletti. Is he still there?
Lapadol. That dude sucks.
Lapagol. Nandez is there. Who else have we got? Yeah, Pavoletti's the captain. Patania's there on loan from Monza. Mm. So that would be another story. Lovumbo scored against us earlier in the season. He's a talented player. They've got that Shamuradov who's on loan from Roma. They've got about eight strikers. I think
Shamuradov's injured, them, isn't actually. He?
Oh, is he? Right, good. Yeah, because I'm really worried about Shamuradov. Right, we'll move on, shall we, and do the Empoli preview. Look, tough one to try and go too in depth on this, because obviously we don't know how the team's going to look for the Coppa Italia game, and we don't know if we're going to have any players back from injury. There is some whispers that Okafor and Musa will be back for this game, which would be good, because I think that would be two returns that actually make a difference. It make our bench look a bit better, and but we're not getting a centre back back, unfortunately, or at least one of the starters. Empoli, I picked them to go down this season. I was really confident in that pick because of all the players that they let go during the summer and just didn't really replace. They have won 3 of their first 18 games this season. They've scored 10 goals in 18 games and let in 30. It's the second worst goal difference in the division. But yeah, they're on 13 points. They are not doing very well. Their 3 wins came against Salernitana, Fiorentina in what is a bit of a derby, and away at Napoli. So call that, yeah, whatever. Empoli, just a weird team.
They got Danny Maldini.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, he's done fuck all this season. 0 goals, 0 assists in his 6 games he's played. So is he injured?
I don't know. I'm just looking. But I seem to remember reading something about an injury.
They got Baldanzi.
No, he's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Ranocchia is there, but that's not the same one. That's a different Ranocchia. Okay, never mind. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, this is a shitty team. We should be fine, but we won't be. And that's just the way that goes.
Oh, no, that's Mattia Destro they've got as well. That's not good.
They'll probably be good.
He also hasn't scored a goal all season. It'll be Caputo up top. I mean, that's who they start with. I don't know. We should be able to beat them, right? Like, they kind of are trash. As long as we get a defender back, supposedly we should be getting Chow back around this time. He might get a few minutes. I don't know. Clue is expected towards the end of the month, right? Or the beginning of next month? I can't remember.
Him and Chow. Chow's not due back for a while yet.
Tomorrow, they said mid-January. I guess this would still be early.
Yeah. Or at least, I don't know. Maybe something's come out about Chow being back sooner, but we'd need him. That would be great. And then obviously tomorrow's out until like into March, which is not good. Also, Empoli got knocked out of the cup by Cittadella at home. So they're having a really, really bad season. Their manager is, it was Paolo Zanetti, and they replaced him with Aurelio Andreazzoli, formerly of Roma. And Genoa, and he's been Empoli manager 4 times now. Can you imagine going back to the same guy 4 times? Oh, I don't know. Right, it's a Sunday early kickoff, so you know that makes us think we're going to drop points, but in actual fact, it turns out our record's pretty good in those games. I think we've won 5 out of the last 6. Look, we're going to win. I'm feeling a bit of confidence. They're shit. We just have to play like 4 out of 10 and we should be fine.
So, yes, I think the sets do back up that we're actually better early kickoff. However, the games that made us think that we're bad early kickoffs are relegation sides, and that's exactly what Empoli is. So, I think it might be a little rough. That said, I'm going 3-0. We're fucking them up.
I'm going to go 1-1. We're getting a draw. It's going to be really ugly. And I'm not
going out of there.
Let's just win, please, God, man. Look, I know it's really easy to be downhearted about the league. You know, we're 9 points behind into 7 behind Juve still, which is not good. We didn't want to be in this position. It's a worse position than we were at the start of last year, and that was when Napoli were running away with it. However, I'm just trying to look for some positives here. The teams that are fighting to get into the top 4 all seem to be playing each other around this point. We've got the Empoli game, then we've got Roma at home, which hopefully we could get the job done in that. I just feel like if we keep picking up points, that gap to fifth place, and fifth place might actually get us Champions League this year, but obviously it's quite compacted around that fifth place. If we just open that gap up from 5 to 8 points, you know, and you start getting towards the double figures, whatever, it makes a big difference psychologically because, you know, top 4 is the minimum objective. But also, I think, and you might not like this, but I just think that if there's less pressure on in the league, then we can focus on the other competitions. You know, like last season when we kind of put the eggs in the basket of the Champions League run. Well, look, yeah. if we're comfortably in third place, but we've got the big Europa League tie coming up, then, you know, you can maybe shift the priorities a little bit, hopefully with a bit of help from the January transfer window as well. Yeah, we'll wrap it up there. Oh, no. Yeah, we've all done our predictions. We're not going to do listener questions this week. Apologies. We were kind of scrambling as to when we were going to record this, so I didn't get the questions tweet out. But we'll do a few more next time to make up for it. Final thing before we end this one. January transfer window opens very soon. How many signings do you boys think we make, and in which positions?
One midfield, two defense.
Yeah, that's actually pretty solid.
Gabbia could count if you wanted, or because he's coming back.
I'm counting him. Yeah, because I don't think we're doing much else, especially with the growth decree changing. I think they were planning on taking advantage of that and being decently active, you know, nothing crazy. But with that gun, it changes everything. So, I mean, it'll be hard.
It's like they're trying to kill the league. I don't understand.
Well, and then they put the that ban on Serie A teams in the Super League if they join their kicked out of Serie A. So
for two seasons.
Great.
The Super League will even start for two seasons.
Sounds good to me though, getting kicked out of the of Serie A. We could join a competently run league. If you search growth decree on the website, we did a feature basically explaining exactly how it works and all of the debate around whether it's going to be abolished or not. It has since been, but at the time it was written, it was the debate, like the pros and cons of it, if it hurts Italian academies versus making the league competitive and all that. And there's also some working examples in there of how Milan have made a saving of, I think it's 22 million this year is what we saved mm-hmm. through the growth decree. Obviously the gross salaries, it trims basically 50% off that. So yeah, it's a real blow that's gone. And I think the management might have been looking at bringing forward that big striker signing just so the overall financial package was a lot less with the growth decree. But now it's kind of like, well, what's the point? Because it's not there. You know, the Garassi stuff's gone cold because he apparently wants 5 mil net per season. And instead of that being 7.5 gross, it's 10 mil gross. So over a 5-year deal, it's gone from, you know, what, 7.5 times 5? I don't know. Can't work it out. It's a lot more. Anyway, and the management are watching every penny that gets spent. But yeah, I think Gabbia comes back. I think we sign another centre-back. We've been linked with someone from Brest over the last couple of days who can also play left-back. And there was some stuff about how Miranda is going to come in the summer, but we won't pay up early to bring him in January. So I just wondered if we sign a centre-back left-back, if that might affect something on that front or not. But the link that I most like is Mukiele, who's at PSG. He's not getting many games. And I think with Tomori and Kalulu out for a while, he'd be good because he's a similar mould of centre-back. He's aggressive, he's fast, he's athletic. So I think if we could bring him in on loan, that'd be good. I liked him when he played at Leipzig. And then, the other links are not that inspiring. I don't know why we'd be asked about Clement Longley. The guy is not good. You know,
Villa's in second place right now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're in second, but they're...
So they are. Do you know how many Premier League appearances he's made? One. So he has not been a part of that good Villa team.
Okay.
Yeah. He's played all the Conference League games, but yeah.
I did look into the guy from Brest, and he's got, fantastic stats. They're also in the top four in Ligue 1 right now, which is rare for them. They're typically struggling above relegation or just mid-table, but he's actually got decent stats, and he's played the majority of the games. So I'm not against it. I haven't watched him with my eyes. I've only looked at him on the internet, so... You know, hit or miss there, but yeah, I'd be okay with that because we need someone. We need a natural defender who's center back, and if he could play left back as well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, like Moncada's hit with a couple of the young center backs that we've brought in from abroad as well, and he knows the French market very well. So if he says he's the guy, I just worry about not bringing in someone with experience because we need someone immediately. We need someone that we could ideally start against Empoli. Yeah. Like, literally, it's that desperate. So if you're bringing in another project player, I think people might be like, really? You know? We don't need another Pellegrino.
Yeah, and I think that might have been I think it might have been the objective until the growth decree. Like you said, with the striker situation, we knew that January was either going to be the last window of the decree or wasn't going to have it. And when we were thinking it was going to be the final window, that's why we were saying, like, no, we're going to be super active in this one, take advantage of it because it's the last time we could. Now we're not, you know, now we're not going to get that big name striker. We're not going to go for a ready-made center back. So it definitely puts a big wrench in it, but it does it to everyone else too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, it does. We benefit more than pretty much any other club in Serie A. However, mm-hmm. it will force everybody Roma's to get second. Smarter. Roma's second, yeah. I hope we bring in a midfielder as well, because if we sell Krunic, we need one. There was some talk of Samuele Ricci, who's at Torino, but I don't think he's going to be affordable in January. I'd love to see a signing like mm-hmm. that. Maybe we bring forward that Udro Gao guy from Schalke or something, or maybe we trust one of the Primavera guys. Di Marzio said that we might shift focus from a striker to a winger because we're losing Chukwueze and we're going to have Okafor and Jovic back who can help out at striker, and then postpone the striker investment to the summer. I'm okay with a winger as long as it's not someone with malaria. As Hamad Junior Traore has. Get well soon, like on a serious note, but I don't know why we were even looking at him to begin with. He's not been good for a while. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if the winger thing becomes something. We'll wrap it up there, shall we, boys? Been a good one, this, action-packed. Apologies, it's a tad shorter than usual, but, you know, New Year's Day, things to do, people to see, places to go, what have you. But thank you very much to everybody who's tuned in. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. Find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher. AJ, cheers for joining.
Yeah, glad to be here. Schedule going forward is going to be unique. We haven't decided on it yet, but it's all my fault. So we'll see what that ends up on and more news on that front later. But for the time being, happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to be here. I have not said much this episode, but I was here.
You were here, and that's what matters. Yeah. Going forward, the podcast might end up being just one of us speaking to the camera for 40 minutes. If we can't get the scheduling to work. No, we'll find a way to make it work, of course. And yeah, Happy New Year to everybody. Hope you've had a fantastic festive period. And let's hope for a better 2024 than we had in 2023 and a derby win. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Thanks for watching, everyone. We'll catch you in a week's time.
Goal! Ancora Teo! È una meraviglia! Il gol di Teo Hernandez! Da un'area all'altra! È una meraviglia! Senti il mio cuore!